Learning for fun. Have you ever thought about learning for fun? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Children make learning for fun. And they want to make fun out of everything they're doing. They want to have everything that they're doing being a joyful, fun-filled thing. And we should too. We should too. Everything we do, we should have for fun. Now, have you ever thought meditation is fun? Have you ever thought that praying is fun? Have you ever thought that treatment is fun? Have you ever thought that being a master is fun? Oh yeah, I like the master where I can walk on water and stuff. No. Being a master in all that you do, in everything that you do, whether it's walking on water or whether it's anything else. Are you having fun doing that? Are you having fun being those things? Are you having fun living in that realm, in that life? Well, if you are, then learning is fun. Learning is learning and knowing that we already know it, but it's fun when you are enjoying yourself because it's a enjoyable thing. Now, have you ever thought learning to drive was fun? No, learning to drive is a pain in the butt. Learning to drive is a pain in the neck. Learning to drive is not a very pleasant thing. But being able to drive and being able to take the car and go where you want to go and do what you want to do, being able to drive the car legally, properly, and harmoniously with everybody else in the world, yes, that's wonderful. You see, a little motivation makes a big difference in our learning techniques, in our learning program. When we really have the right motivation for anything, learning is fun. Doing things is fun. But if not, it's not fun. Girls pretend that they like sports because their boyfriends like sports. And so they go along with their boyfriends who are into sports, and they don't care about sports one little bit. They just want to be with their boyfriend. Now, that's a good motivation, whether they're sitting on the park bench together or whether they're sitting on the ballpark bench together. It's the same thing. But do you know why you're doing it? Do you know that you're going with your boyfriend just because you want to be with him, not because of the game? Then don't knock the game. Don't get upset with the game. Don't get uptight with anything that's going on. And don't try to judge what's going on. Just love to be with your boyfriend. Snuggle with him, cuddle with him, sit with him, and just go get popcorn for him and go get hot dogs for him. But just have it be a fun thing. You don't care what goes on in the sports game. You go what goes on in the field. That is totally immaterial. The only thing that you care about is that he's giving you some attention. And, of course, you're giving him attention. And you say, well, why would anyone want to do that? Oh, knock it off. You know why. That's the way the game's played. Okay, now, did you ever think that golf was fun? Some people don't like golf. But if you have a good golf instructor, if he's a handsome man or a beautiful lady, a beautiful person that really turns you on, and they know how to teach, they don't make you feel stupid because you don't know it. And they're there to teach you how to do it. That's what they're there for. You're expected not to know how to do it. You don't go to a golf instructor or a teacher because you already know it. You go there because you want to learn it. So if you go there with the right attitude. Now, secondarily, or maybe first, the attitude can be, it's a beautiful person. It's a beautiful man that you'd like to learn something from him. And so he teaches you, and you feel very good about it. And you say, wow, you know. And then he puts his arms around you while he shows you how to hold the club and stuff like that. And you think to yourself, oh, you know, golly Moses. And right away, it's fun. But all things in life can be fun. Learning can be lots of fun when you take it with the right attitude. When you take it, don't get upset with yourself for hanging out with a guy and you don't really care about the golf. I mean, How many ways can you get a guy to put his arms around you, you know? When he's showing you how to hold a golf club and showing you how to do this and what have you. You know, play the game. That's all part of the game of life. It's all part of the game of being fun and doing things that turn you on and make you feel just real good. Now, another game is languages. Now, there are many languages in this world. Now, why did you want to learn French? Why did you want to learn German? Why did you want to learn English? Why did you want to learn Italian? Ellen, she got herself a boyfriend who was living in the Italian part of Switzerland, and so she had to sort of learn Italian. She had no interest in Italian any more than the man in the moon. She had no interest in Switzerland any more than the man in the moon. But when she got Alias, the light of her life, she wanted to be able to communicate with him on the language he knew well. Now, Alias perhaps knew her languages, German and French and English and things like that, but he let her play with Italian. He let her do that because, and she loved doing it. She couldn't learn it fast enough. She wanted to learn all the ways there was to say, I love you. I think you're wonderful. You're a beautiful man. You're doing great things. You make me so happy. You know, she wanted to learn all. And the best way to say it is in his natural language. And so, he understood her English. He understood her German. He understood her French. He understood everything. But his language that she learned was fun because then she understood everything that he said to her. Because if you don't understand somebody else's language, they may say things and get into trouble. But really, that's what life's all about, isn't it? Life's all about learning for fun. Learning for fun to have an enjoyable time and to have enjoyable experiences and to have enjoyable, wonderful experiences that make you just feel so good. Now, we saw a movie, Top Hat, last night. Oh, it's old as the hills. Old as the hills. The modern cinematography, the modern choreography, the modern dance steps, the modern way of doing things, and black and white, you know. My goodness sakes, we didn't even notice it was black and white, but it was black and white. And it was dancing. Lots of dancing. And now Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers were just a delight. When they were on the dance floor, they were just like two beings floating together in perfect harmony, and each step they made was a step of delight. It was a choreographer's delight. Gene Kelly would have loved them. Now, what made it so nice? Why, in the movie too, Ginger Rogers was not really too happy with the guy, but the way she's acting, you know. But the moment she danced with him, she was just like a second skin. And the two of them just sort of moved around in a perfect harmony and perfect balance and perfect. They were having fun. Do you think they were having fun? Ho, ho, ho. They were. The music was sort of in the background and in the foreground. The music faded in and out, but the dancing was always paramount. It was always beautiful. It was always dramatic and glorious. Not dramatic from the point of view of being, what would you say, tense or intense, but just a beautiful flow. Now, why do you want to learn to dance? My sister May and I took dancing lessons at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio in Milwaukee. And we'd go downtown on the streetcar, and we'd go to the Arthur Murray Studio. And, of course, Arthur Murray wasn't there. But there were teachers that his system was trained to. I don't know whether he even trained them. But they had learned his system, and they taught us to dance, which we could have learned in virtually any other studio if we had wanted to. But we learned from the Arthur Murray studio. And we just had a wonderful time. And we would dance together. And when we got down there, there was usually not enough men or women to, you know, be partners with your dancing team. And so May and I often had to dance together. And she got quite accustomed to me, and I got accustomed to her. And we just danced and had so much fun and were laughing. We stepped on each other's toes occasionally, but we were just laughing and having such a good time. It was such a joyful experience. And on the way down on the streetcar, we were laughing about what had happened the last time. And on the way back on the streetcar, we were laughing at what happened this time. But it was just a joyful thing. It was learning for fun. And then we didn't know each other anymore. May didn't know me at home. She didn't know anything about me. I didn't know anything about her. We each had our own friends, our own activities, and she went off to her dances that she didn't invite me to, which I was glad, and I went off to my dances, which I didn't invite her. I had my own girlfriends, you know. And the week after week, the better I got with the ability to dance, the better it was for my team, my girlfriends, because it was for fun. And my girlfriends would always say, "Wow, you're a good dancer." And I'd say, that's I'm learning, you know. And so they'd say, "Yes, yes, that's wonderful. And show me this step and show me that." And so I would carefully show them each step. And of course, they had a few steps that they showed me too. But it was fun, because my girlfriends and I, we learned to dance many new things together. But what we liked the most were the barn dances. They were the square dances and just the most fun, because we were just high flyers. But learning is for fun. Now, what else is there? I made a few notes here. Driving, learning is fun. Golf, learning is fun. Languages, learning is fun. Dancing, learning is fun. Singing, learning is fun. I love the story that we have of Gertrude Suter. She decided she was going to learn how to sing. So she went to this operatic teacher, and the operatic teacher says, "No way. You can't even carry a tune in a basket." But she took her. And within a very short time, because of Gertrude's enthusiasm for it and her desire to learn and the fun she had in learning, she learned. Today, it's, 10 years later or something of that nature? And she's still singing in this gospel choir, one of the regulars and one of the important members of the gospel choir. She learned how to sing, and it was fun. And it gives her her enjoyment. It gives her a special opportunity to use her voice, to use her throat, to use her talent that she never really knew she had. Like most of us, we never know we have talents until we start learning and using them. Now, what's another learning for fun idea? Well, parenting. Do you think that parents could learn how to parent for fun? Sure. Do they? Nope. Do they go to special courses at night school on how to parent? No. Do they read any magazines on parenting? Nope. Do they listen to any radio or television shows on parenting? Nope. How do they do it? Well, this is the way I was brought up, and that's why I'm bringing my kids up. And how we were brought up, we hated every minute of it, because we were brought up by learning how to obey the rules, how to follow the program, not learning for fun. If a parent could teach a child how to help his little brother learn the rules. Now, you are the older, and you're the example for your little brother. So your little brother is going to do all the things that you do. Now, what would be a nice thing that it'd be good if your little brother learned how to do? Put his clothes away. He has a mess around now. Well, why don't you be a good example and show him how to do that? Because that would be a wonderful. Now, is that nice parenting? Is that careful parenting? You think, well, it's pushing it off on the little kids. No, it isn't. It's just teaching them by example. Now, Who doesn't put their clothes away? Daddy and Mama. Mama takes her blouse off, her takes off her sweater, throws it in a chair, and goes about her work. She doesn't take it to the bedroom and hang it up in the closet. She doesn't take it in the hall closet and hang it up. She doesn't put it away properly. She just throws it down. And then she wonders why the kids are throwing their clothes down and not putting them away. But if she would just make it fun, take a moment and walk to the closet in your bedroom and hang up your beautiful sweater or fold it up nicely and put it in the drawer. And we were watching Kate and...
Leopold.
Kate and Leopold. And Kate and Leopold were an interesting thing. And the brother of Kate said to Leopold, as he came out of a different culture, he said, "Now, when you put the dishes in the dishwasher, set them in the dishwasher, but don't turn the dishwasher on until she comes out and sees you do it. That way, she'll know that you did the dishes in a dishwasher. But she'll know you did the dishes." Now, was this young man teaching his friend about relationships too? You know? Did he teach the young man relationships too? And how did he do it? He says, "The ball is in your court. Keep it in your court. Don't put it in her court because you'll never know if it's going to come back. Take responsibility." And you see, now he taught these things. He says, "That's what I do." And of course, he did do it. And so he was a good example. Now, parenting is a big job. It's a job that goes on forever. It's a job that goes on how?
Love.
With unconditional love. And when you have unconditional love, you make a fabulous parent. But without the unconditional love, then you have some problems. Well, now, how about spousing? How do you learn spousing? Learning for fun about being a spouse. How can you learn to be a husband or a wife? Now, you look at your own parents, and you see all of the things that they did. Mainly, you remember the things that they did that weren't so good. Very seldom, you remember all the things that were neat about them. I have people come to me who have hang-ups in their life, and the hang-ups are usually their mother or father or something of that nature. And so I tell them, "Okay, now, let's recreate your dad in the image you'd like him. What is the ideal father? What is the ideal father? What does he do? How does he think? How does he act? How does he respond toward the family? What is the ideal father?" And when I can get him, not their father, forget your father right now. We're looking at the ideal father. And once I get him going on the ideal father, they're having fun. That'd be a neat guy to have around the house. That'd be a neat guy to have as my dad. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay, now. Now that you've found what you think might be an ideal father, now start looking at your own dad and see if maybe many of those things he did do himself. Quite likely, he did a lot of those things, but you didn't see it because you were getting your comeuppance for not doing something right yourself. But start looking, and you'll find. And so learning is such fun. And, "Oh, yeah, my dad did that. Oh, yeah, he did that. He's so thoughtful. You see? And when you start thinking of that, then that learning is fun. That learning is a great joy. And you begin remembering your family as a totally different family than you remember it from having grown up in it. Because when you were growing up in it, you were doing a great deal of protesting. You're protesting about everything that you're told to do and everything that you had to do and everything that your sister or brother got away with and you didn't get away with because they were older or younger or something. And you see, those are the things that make us blind to the fact that we do have ideal parents, that we do have ideal family, that we do have an ideal husband or wife, that we do have ideals that we're working with. Now, how do you learn happiness? Learning for fun. How do you learn happiness? Well, you learn happiness by being happy. In Pollyanna, she was always happy about everything that she could be. Her father had taught her to look for happiness wherever she could find it, look for happiness even when it wasn't there, because she's the one who put it there. She's the one who put it there. Now, Ellen was saying the Ginger Roger and Fred Astaire dancing was so great. It was so great. It was just great. It was just wonderful, just super. Now, she didn't say anything about the script. She didn't say anything about the acting or anything else like that. She said the dancing was just wonderful. Now, we can start looking at our fathers and mothers and see that they were just wonderful to us in many ways, and ways that we don't remember because we were so concerned about the bad script or about other things that were going on. Happiness comes because we know where to look for it. And where do we look for happiness? In our own heart, in our own attitudes, in our own beingness. That's where we look for happiness. Happiness doesn't come from any place else under the sun, except from within us. And then, what do we do with happiness once we have it? We share it. We shine it out. Happiness is no fun unless you share it. Happiness means nothing at all unless you shower it on your world, on everybody in your world. And when you're happy, you go, "Oh, I just had a wonderful time. Oh, I had a wonderful cake. Oh, my birthday was yesterday, and they made me a beautiful chocolate cake, and they made a beautiful steak, T-bone steak dinner for me. Wow, they did this. Oh, wow, wow." And do you think that you get happy because somebody else is happy when they are happy on that? You bet. That's what it's all about. That's what the sharing is all about. That's what learning for fun is all about. Learning for fun is not making a tedious thing out of anything you learn to do, but just make a fun thing out of it. Make a joy thing out of it. And when you do, then that's what it is. So, that's what it is. Have a lovely day. And know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.